Let us go to God in prayer. Lord, as we hear your word proclaimed, may it be for us truly good news, a gospel not of human origin, but a revelation given through Jesus Christ, made alive to us through your Holy Spirit. Amen. Our first reading comes from the book of 1 Kings. Chapter 18, we're skipping around a little bit. But you can find it on page 312 of the Bibles in front of you. We will begin with chapter 20, or verse 20, chapter 18. Listen for what the Spirit has to say to the church. So Ahab sent to all the Israelites and assembled the prophets at Mount Carmel. Elijah then came near to all the people and said, "How long will you go limping with two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." The people did not answer him a word. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come closer to me." And all the people came closer to him. First, he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been thrown down. Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the son of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord came, saying, "Israel shall be your name." With the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. Then he made a trench around the altar, large enough to contain 2 measures of seed. Next he put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, and laid it on the wood. He said, "Fill 4 jars with water and pour it on the burnt offering and on the wood." Then he said, "Do it a second time." And they did it a second time. Again he said, "Do it a third time." And they did it a third time, so that the water ran all around the altar and filled the trench also with water. At the time of the offering of the oblation, the prophet Elijah came near and said, "O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known to say that you are God in Israel, that I am your servant, that I have done all these things at your bidding. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so that this people know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back." Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering, the wood, the stones, and the dust, and even licked up the water that was in the trench. And all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord indeed is God. The Lord indeed is God." The bit that the lectionary reading from this morning skipped was the prophets of Baal trying in vain to get their fire lit. And there's some taunting in there. It's worth going back and reading on your own if you haven't already. Our gospel reading from this morning comes from the gospel according to Luke, chapter 7, the verse 10 verses. You can find it on page 896 of the Bibles in front of you. Again, listen for what the Spirit has to say to the church. After Jesus had finished all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. A centurion there had a slave whom he valued highly and who was ill and close to death. When he heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to him, asking him to come and heal his slave. When they came to Jesus, they appealed to him earnestly, saying, "He is worthy of having you do this for him, for he loves our people, and it is he who built our synagogue for us." And Jesus went with them. But when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him to say, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof." Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but only speak the word, and let my servant be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and the slave does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd that followed him, he said, I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith. When those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. Let us go to God in prayer. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you. O Lord, our God, our rock and our salvation, may your Spirit move upon us in fullness and in power that we may hear what you have to say to each and every one of us today. Amen. There's a saying, if you want something done right, you have to do it yourself. I'm going to tell you a story. A little over a month ago, the week before the youth group dinner theater, we were having multiple practices a week. At this point, I think we were having 3 or 4 practices a week. On the evening that this story takes place, I was in a bad mood. I was in a bad mood because I was stressed out that the kids did not know their lines like I thought they should. On this night, I was in a bad mood because it was half an hour after the time we told them to be there and only half the kids were there. I was in a bad mood. Now, the water cooler was empty. So I took it to the kitchen to refill it. As I was carrying the jug back to the water cooler, and you know how big this jug is, I passed Dalen Elder, and Dalen said, Charles, do you want some help? And me, being in a bad mood, no, I've got it. I got the jug to the water cooler, and I was preparing myself physically and mentally to get the jug onto the water cooler. I don't know if you've ever refilled one of those things. It's not an easy thing to do. You have to flip the jug over without spilling water all over yourself. It's an exercise in strength, quickness, and precision. So I set the jug upright on the water cooler. I had it on this side, and I was preparing myself to flip it. Well, when I flipped it, the jug knocked the water cooler down. It crashed to the ground. And the jug, having nothing to rest on, falls to the ground and spills water everywhere. All over me, all over the rug. Brian had to come in and clean everything up. So I picked the water cooler up, thinking it's not a big deal. I put the jug with what water's left in it, and then I hear the water rushing to the ground. It was going through the water cooler, not staying in the water cooler like it's supposed to, and pouring out all over the floor. And that, brothers and sisters, is the story of how Pastor Charles broke the water cooler. Now, things would probably have gone differently had I just said, yes, Dalen, I could use your help. Very likely, we'd still have a working water cooler. Very likely, I wouldn't have hurt my wrist. However, instead of accepting the help of a brother in Christ, I stubbornly decided to do things myself and ended up making a mess of everything. The centurion in this morning's gospel reading was much wiser than I, at least in this particular instance. He could very well have gone on his own to beg Jesus to heal his valued slave. But instead, he recognized that the best way to get things done is to send members of the community he lived in to appeal to Jesus. Rather than take it upon himself to go to Jesus, he instead chose to employ a series of interconnected relationships within his immediate community, a community which he himself had already done a great deal to help. As Jesus approaches, he yet again appeals to his community for aid, sending his friends out to intercept Jesus, telling Jesus that he need not bother coming all the way to his house, that he is unworthy for Jesus to enter his roof. The result is about as expected, in that Jesus praises the faith of this centurion and the slave is healed. Would things have gone differently had the centurion gone to Jesus himself? We can't say for sure, but I suspect things would have gone in much the same way. However, this centurion, whose faith was greater than Jesus had seen even among Israel, apparently did not adhere to the adage of, if you want something done right, you have to do it yourself. If I would have accepted Dalen's help, we would not be searching for replacement parts for the water cooler. Part of being a community means that we don't have to do everything ourselves. The church is a gift from God. The community is a gift from God. A body works together, and we as the body of Christ work best when we work together. This is why we form committees, which are often the butt of Presbyterian jokes. But committees encourage the body of Christ to work together, to sift through and synthesize differing opinions, and to move forward according to God's will. This is why we have deacons who function as the caring hands of Christ and the congregation and the community beyond. It's why we have a prayer chain. We need not face our problems, our hardships, our trials alone. We have a community of faith that is a gift from God that seeks to provide help, support, prayer, and love to all within the community. And even those who are only tangentially related to that community. We need not do everything ourselves. It's easy to believe that only we are capable of doing certain things, or that we don't need others' help in getting things done, but we do. As a community of faith, we work together. We support each other. We lift each other up. We are united in one body by the Holy Spirit. That is the body of Christ. Normally, on Communion Sundays, this table has bread, and we call it wine, but it's not really wine. It's grape juice. But even today, on a day that is not Communion Sunday, we still have this dish upon which the bread rests, and this cup in which the juice is poured, as a reminder of communion. It is a meal that is shared around the world and throughout history. It's something that all Christians have in common. They don't all use the same bread. Sometimes they don't even use bread. They don't all use the same grape juice. Some use wine. I've heard stories of grape soda. But the specific elements are less important than that which they represent. The bread and the juice or the wine represent for us the sacrifice of Christ. His body and blood shed for us. They represent the heavenly feast that God has prepared for us when all things are made new and hunger is no more. They represent the unity that we have with all Christians, the whole body of Christ, united by the power of the Holy Spirit. These are what these symbols represent. That is why we leave this tray in this cup in plain view every Sunday, even if we don't have communion on that day. We are the body of Christ. We have been called by God into this complicated, messy, sometimes maddening thing that we call the church. And as part of a community, we don't have to do everything ourselves. We are told that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Gene rightly told the kids this morning to turn to God for help, even in the smallest things. It's important to remember that God is working through this community, and God is working through all communities of faith, through all churches around the world. God is working through all churches. So it's not just this community. But as part of a community, we don't have to do everything ourselves. That's what it means to be part of the church. Being in a community is to allow others to shoulder the burdens of sickness. It's to allow others to help shoulder the burdens of financial need, the burdens of family, and yes, family can be a burden. Being in a community is to allow others to help shoulder the burdens of projects, of meetings, of tasks within the church. We need other people to get things done. To be in the church is to be united by these elements, the body and blood of Christ. To be in the church is to be united across denomination, across congregation, by the Holy Spirit. We don't always get along in this congregation or as the larger church. But that doesn't change the fact that we are one global community, united by the Holy Spirit. We are a community of faith located here in this town in Los Animas, united by the Holy Spirit. We are united in Christ, and that means sharing the burden. Thanks be to God.